1 Samuel chapter 18. Verse number 12 says that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. It's a really troubling phrase there, is that last phrase, that Lord was departed from Saul. I had a series of messages on some of the really difficult lines in Scripture, passages of Scripture, very sad passages of Scripture. This would be one of those. The Lord had been with Saul, and now the Lord was departed from Saul, and we want to look at what happened in Saul's life that led to that that awful statement there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you as we come to this part of the service now. Lord, there's been much done leading up to this part in preparation for our hearts. Lord, as we come now to open the Scripture, Lord, we pray that we can learn some lessons from this these Bible characters. Lord, in particular, what happened here with King Saul. Lord, we just pray that you'll work in our hearts and in our minds as we open the Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to convict and interpret and burden our souls with things that we need to work on, things we need to adjust, encouragement that we might need. We thank you. We ask this in your name. Amen. King Saul had started out so well. King Saul had started his reign as king in humility. He had been so bashful at even his coronation to be king that they had to go find him. He was hiding. He was a good man, humble man, godly man. He had started out so well. But we find in several chapters here, about five chapters in particular here of 1 Samuel, that things changed very quickly for Saul. And the focus that we kind of want to look at today was the problem of pride. And what pride did to Saul's life. And how he let pride creep in and eventually destroy him, destroy his reign, destroy his family from being able to continue in the monarchy there. His family was removed from the possibility of moving forward with a lineage of kings in their family. It wasn't going to happen. God didn't allow it. And the problem was pride. And we came to this particular passage here where the Lord was with David, and we see that throughout David's life and throughout David's reign, was departed from Saul. So here's someone who had the power of God on his life, who had the hand of God on his life, but had lost it and was no longer living for God, no longer had the hand of God on his life and on his ministry. And so a message of caution today to make sure we keep in check the things that happened in Saul's life, that we don't allow them to creep in to ours. We're going to look back over just these couple chapters. So if you want to turn with me, turn back to chapter 13, and we'll just stay within these few pages between chapter 13 and chapter 19 today. We can get the whole story right here, but we'll look at some of these different things that happened. Chapter 13, we see Saul bringing together the army ready to fight against the Philistines. Verse number 8, it says, he tarried 7 days, that's Saul. Saul tarried 7 days according to the time set, the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, then Samuel came. And Saul went to meet him that he might salute him. We'll stop right there. But Saul, now very early, and within the first couple of years of his reign, Saul was going to be a warrior king. The enemies of Israel had crept in during the time of the judges, had impeded their borders, had moved in, had begun to take advantage of the Israelites, and began to take their property and take their crops, and they were really at the mercy of many of their enemies that were around them, such as the Philistines and the Amalekites and some of the ones we're going to see show up in these particular passages. And so when Samuel was getting up in years, the people had cried out to Samuel, "We want a king. The other nations have a king. We want a king." And so the time of the judges came to an end here, and now God allowed them, was not God's plan, but God allowed them to have a king. And so Saul was appointed as the first king, and really the primary duty of Saul during his reign, and we'll see it even into David's reign, was that they were going to have to fight the enemies of Israel. They were going to have to push the borders back. They were going to have to get out from the oppression of their enemies and the way that they had been taken advantage of and used and taxed and all the, they had to throw off their enemies. And so Saul was going to be a warrior type king. We'll see him battling throughout most of his reign, and David will as well, following in Saul's footsteps. Solomon, however, pretty much had a time of peace and prosperity due to the battles that were fought here. Solomon was able to reign when Israel had probably its greatest level of borders and land and things that God had promised them. It was a time of peace and prosperity. We know that from Solomon and the wealth that he had. But Saul and David had to fight those battles. And so here's Saul early in his reign getting ready to fight the Philistines who had really come upon them. I don't have time to read all the preceding verses. We had covered this in my Sunday school class in the last couple of weeks, but it says, you know, Saul put together his first army. First time he had put together an organized army of the Israelites. And the Philistines came with an army. The Bible, you said in this particular passage, they were like the sands of the sea. There was a lot more of them. The people of Israel were discouraged by that. And so they were going to sacrifice to the Lord, trust the battle to the Lord, and then go forth to battle. Only Samuel wasn't there yet. And Saul was starting to feel like he was losing control of the people. They were starting to scatter. They were starting to lose faith. Every day they got up and the Philistine army looked bigger, and their brand new, mismatched, poorly funded army looked really bad. And every day they got more scared, and every day he was losing control. And after that 7-day period when he thought for sure Samuel was going to be there and Samuel wasn't there, Saul said, "I need to do something drastic. If Samuel's not going to be here to offer the burnt offering, I'll just do it myself." And he began already here, just really early in his reign, began to overstep the boundaries that were given to him. Saul, who had been so humble, so bashful, so backward that he was hiding when they were trying to announce him as king, now, just a couple years later, was just going to take over whatever he needed to take over to get the job done, including the role of the priest of Samuel. And so he went ahead and offered the burnt offering. He kind of did it, he did it for his buddy Samuel. Samuel didn't look at it that way, and God certainly didn't look at that way. And so I think we find the very first thing that Saul did that began this course of turning away from God is he began to overstep his boundaries. God had given him a set role. God had given him the authority to be king and to fight the battles. And God was going to be with them, and they were going to have some great victories. And they will. But he already overstepped the role that he had. He already decided to take more power and try to take some of the position of the priesthood that was not his to have. We see over in chapter 14, Saul begins to make some very poor decisions. He's just not thinking properly, not thinking as a warrior and as a leader should. In chapter 14, verse 24, I'm just kind of highlighting the crux of the story down through here. Verse 24, the men of Israel were distressed that day. So the warriors, the army was distressed. Why? For Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. That was for lack of a deeper theological word, a really dumb idea, right? Just dumb. Here he is. What's the best thing we can do to motivate the army? Not feed them. Not give them any grub. Not have any food. Not no energy. We know how important that is in our culture today. Every athlete, every school, every sports team, everybody, make sure they're hydrated. Make sure they have the right nutrition. Make sure they have what they need so they can perform the duties that are necessary. Saul knew that. Saul knew how important it was. These guys are trying to go out there overmatched against an army that was better equipped and better prepared and better organized than them. Yes, they had God on their side, but they had no energy. They didn't have food. And that sounds silly, but I think we begin to see the pride creep in the way he said this, right? I want to make sure that I avenge my enemies. I thought these were the enemies of the people of God, right? We're going to see that in the battle with David and Goliath in chapter 17, in just a couple chapters. This was God's battle to fight. These were the enemies of God's people, and that Saul took it upon himself. It started to become about him. I want to make sure I fight and I avenge my enemies. So here's my idea. Don't eat today. Don't eat until you win, you know. It's the opposite of parents telling their kids, right? You can't watch TV until you're done with dinner, right? Or you can't go play until you're done with dinner. This is no fight all day. And when you're done fighting and you've won the battle, then you can have it. It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense to the point that Jonathan, his son's going to turn that over. He's going to turn that inside out and prove his dad wrong here. And that's not going to go well. Verse 25, and all they of the land came to a wood. There was honey upon the ground. The people were coming to the wood. Behold, the honey dropped. No man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath of Saul. But Jonathan, Saul's son, Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, dipped it into the honeycomb, put his hand to his mouth. His eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of the honey. And so Jonathan said, but that doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't work that way. We need that energy. We need that strength. We'll be able to fight the battle. And Jonathan's going to prove that out over the next couple of verses. Jump down to verse 44. Of course, I don't have a lot of time. I'm jumping ahead in the story. So Saul has to keep his image before the people. Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. Because you did that, because you went against my word and you undermined my authority, I'm going to have to put you to death. And he was going to follow through with that, even though Jonathan was right and it had worked out. And because of that added strength and energy, they were able to fight off the enemy. He was going to still kill him. And the people said, verse 45, the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. They rescued Jonathan from whom? His own dad. Right? What was going on? Well, the pride was so beginning to creep into every part of him that he couldn't look bad in front of the people, that he was making unusual and strange rules and expectations. He was beginning to set a standard that he didn't ever want to look like he was less than the one in charge, even if it meant he had to kill his son who was the hero that day for winning the battle. And the people, of course, didn't work that way. The people just thought that was crazy. And they were right. They're like, no, you're not. You're not going to kill Jonathan. He's the hero. He won the victory. And the people did stand up against him. Instead of looking bad because he wasn't following through on his oath, he looked even worse because he wanted to follow through on his crazy oath. Pride was so beginning to seep in and steep into his heart and his soul and the way he wanted to do things. Chapter 15 is where he does not follow God's rules. He's supposed to get rid of the Amalekites, all of them, including their crops and their flocks, and just there, no remnant of the Amalekites is to remain, and yet he did not follow through with that. And Samuel reminds him to obey is better than sacrifice. Chapter 16, verse 14, we begin to see this Spirit of the Lord departing. Remember, our text was chapter 18, and so we're getting close to that. In chapter 16, we see a very important event begin to transpire. From the end of chapter 16 and through chapter 17, and up until our text in chapter 18, we'll have the battle of David and Goliath. But here in chapter 16, and let's see, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who's a cunning player on the harp. It shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then he answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, Bethlehemite. He's cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, a comely person. The Lord's with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, a bottle of wine, a kid, sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. David came to Saul, stood before him. He loved him greatly. He became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me. He hath found favor in my sight. We'll stop right there. I read all those. That's very important to our next text, just to see the designations that were given to David in this particular passage by Saul. But here we have Saul overcome with an evil spirit, troubled with an evil spirit. And for lack of a better word, Saul decides to fix his problem with a Band-Aid, right? Not with surgery, not rooting out the problem, not dealing with the sin, not confessing his sin before God and making things right and getting back to where he should be. No, he didn't do those things. This is not revival. This is, I feel bad, let's play some nice music. That was his answer, right? That was the answer his guys had, and Saul thought that sounded like a good idea. Let's just play some nice music, I'll feel better. So that doesn't fix the root of the problem. That doesn't fix the sin of the problem. That doesn't fix any of the problem. He's just masking. He's just putting a Band-Aid over the problem that's going to continue to grow in his life. So, of course, the young person they find to play the harp in there in the palace before the throne is David. And the whole conversation, I read that for you, the whole conversation transpires here as they try to figure out who he is and how to get him. And so Saul sends a letter to Jesse. Jesse sends the oxen that's laden down with the wine and the food and so forth. It all comes in. David announces himself as the son of Jesse. I mean, that's some of those words and phrases in the Bible or verses in the Bible we just gloss over. But it's really important because of the end of chapter 17. And so throughout, just as you turn to, let's say, verse 55, throughout chapter 17, Goliath is in the valley. Nobody will go fight Goliath till David shows up. David shows up down there, sent by his father. David shows up to check on his brothers. Now, mind you, the Philistines have advanced. They've set up in this valley. Goliath is taunting the people. Saul is a warrior king. He moves his palace, you know, as a mobile thing, as a tent, down to the front lines. His army is with him. That's how he did things. That's how soldiers and kings fought at that time. They moved down. The Philistines are camped on one side of the valley. Saul and the Israelites are on the other side. Goliath is making his rants and ravings. This is no place for the child, for David. This is no place for him to be. He doesn't need his harp player. He's not at the palace. He's not at the throne. He's on the front lines of war. And so David is sent home. And David goes back to minding the sheep, watching the sheep. being the shepherd boy that he's supposed to be. He's just going back and doing the duty that he used to do for Jesse, his father. Chapter 17, he shows up. He sees what's going on. He goes down into the valley. He slays Goliath. Wins a great victory. The bulk of the Israelites that are on the hillside are now invigorated by this. And they chase the Philistines away. And it's a completely lopsided, one-sided victory as the power of God wins a great victory through the hand of the young boy, David. Verse 55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, that's Goliath, he sent unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. I have a number of concordances and commentaries and books in my office. There's one or two in there that are just liberal enough that they think that perhaps this passage got out of order. This passage is not out of order from the rest of the passage. This is Saul, so consumed with pride, he didn't even know who David was. He completely missed who David was. But the whole conversation that just happened. Send me someone to play music. Oh, Jesse's son plays music. Jesse sends a whole ox filled with goodies. You'd think he'd remember the goodie basket, you know. No. David's playing music for him. It calms his soul. They go to battle. He's like, David, now's not the time to be here. You got to go home. David goes back, tends his father's sheep, takes care of the sheep. They have no one to go down and fight Goliath. No one is brave enough to fight the giant. Not any of the soldiers. Not Saul himself, who the Bible says stood head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. He's the tallest guy they had. He's the closest they had to their own giant, but he didn't go down. Nobody wanted to fight him until, guess who? David shows up again. Not in the palace. Not with a harp. No, he comes with a sling and a few stones. He's the only one brave enough to go down in the valley and kill Goliath because God is on his side. And at the end of it, Saul looks over to Abner, his second in command, and says, who's that kid? Don't you think even Abner would say, are you kidding me? You know, right? I mean, listen, Saul is pacing in his tent on the sidelines of this valley, looking for someone to fight the giant. And the one person that was willing and able to fight the giant was the kid he sent home the week before. You know, that's the guy, the best warrior he had. Was holding a harp at the end of the palace hallway there. The best warrior he had was the kid he sent home. And he didn't know it. He didn't see it. Saul was so consumed with the big things, with the important people, with the big event, with the grand army. He was so consumed with the big things, he missed the little things. The little thing being literally a little boy named David who was going to rescue the entire nation of Israel from the tauntings and blasphemy of Goliath. Saul totally missed it. How is that possible? Because his pride was so deep, he didn't have time for the kids, right? He didn't have time for the little guys. Harp player. You know, Saul's the type of guy who, like, Saul, that's wonderful music. Who plays your harp? I don't know. Ask my secretary, you know. I don't know. He doesn't know him. Doesn't know him, doesn't know who he is. He was introduced. He got all that information. He just didn't care. And when push came to shove and Goliath was in the valley, it's that same harp player that came back to bail him out. And the entire nation. He's the one that had God on him. He's the one that had the power of God. That spirit of God that had left him was on the harp player down the hall. And Saul missed it. He couldn't see. Look what pride had done to this man's life. He was so consumed with overstepping his boundaries, making ludicrous rules, following through, saving face, never getting to know the younger people, the lesser important people. Isn't it funny how God always uses the lesser important people? Those are always the ones God uses. God's always taking the one that we dismiss and saying, that's the one we're going to use. That's the one who's going to save the day. Saul and his military brilliance, boy, he had sent him home. He's just a kid. That's the one. Rest of chapter 18, it was our text this morning. In chapter 18, the people began to realize this. And the women began to say in verse number 7, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Notice in verse number 9, Saul eyed David from that day forward. Came to pass on the morrow, the evil spirit from God came upon him, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as he had at other times. Isn't it interesting the Bible put that phrase in there? Listen to me, this is no accident, folks. No word in the Bible is filler, right? It's in there for a reason. The phrase says, David played as he had at other times. Yes, when? Well, that was back before Goliath showed up. In our Bibles, chapter 16, when the people said, you need someone to play music and calm you down. And so they went and found David, and he played, but he got sent home, and then he beat Goliath down in the valley, and now he's back. So he played with his hand as he had at other times, but there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David to the wall with it. But David avoided out of his presence, what? Twice. How many times does someone have to try to pin you to a wall with a javelin before you stop going back, you know? Obviously, David was where God wanted him to be. And David, in his wisdom, knew this is what God had called him to. Samuel had anointed him. He was there learning the process. Saul obviously did not like him, threw a javelin at him once. Then he threw a javelin at him twice. Saul was afraid, verse 12. Why was Saul afraid? Because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. Now, verse 14. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. The Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. What a contrast between Saul and David. Saul making ridiculous rules, crazy oaths, willing to kill his own son to save face, where David was going to behave himself wisely, make good decisions, do the right thing, respond in the right way. Listen, Saul's problem was pride. And it grew in his life. And he didn't deal with it when he should have dealt with it. He decided to cover it with some harp playing. Rather than confessing his sin and making things right, tried to put band-aids over it. And the pride continued to grow. And the pride continued to grow. And Saul spent about half of his reign trying to kill David. You know, the hero. The guy who God's hand was upon. He got so consumed trying to hunt down David, he forgot about the Philistines and the Amalekites and all the other problems. Oh no, he was just focused on getting David out of the way. Because he knew David was going to get his throne. And David was going to get his throne. Why? Because of verse 14 and 15, David behaved himself wisely. And the Lord was with him. I just wanted to focus today on the time we had. The problem with pride. It grows and grows until it destroys us from the inside out. Let's pray.